that chimutz corresponds to something in reality. It's not some mystical concept. Chimutz as opposed to sirchon, something that corresponds to reality. The Gemara says that Tanoim established the institution of Chameshes Minei Dogon. It appears on Lamed Hei Omed Aleph that Yachit and Mesorim, Kusfin, Shifon, Shibor, Rishuah, these Chameshes Minei Dogon have been established as having a special din because of the fact that they are boim Ledei Chimutz. The Gemara says, what about rice? What about Orez V'doichen? So the Gemara says, that's a machlokes Tanoim. Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri thinks that Orez V'doichen is also Chometz, and the Chachamim disagree. The Talmud Yerushalmi on Mishnayis Chala asks the Kasha. This machlokes appears in Mishnayis Chala. Is one chayiv in Chala or not if he makes a cake or he makes a bread out of rice? The Kron Tadech Menuri is Boli De Chimutz, so therefore it's called Lechem, and the Kron Tadech Chachamim is not Boli De Chimutz, but it's not called Lechem. And in order to be Chai Ben Chalo, the Pasuk says, Hoi Balchochem Lechem Horetz, depends on Lechem. And Lechem depends on Boli De Chimutz, because with respect to Matzah, it has to be Lechem only. It's only called Matzah if it's in contrast to Chometz. It's only called Matzah if it's Boli De Chimutz, and you baked it quickly, so it wasn't, you saw to it that it wasn't Boli De Chimutz. So this is how we established that the definition of Lechem has to do with Boli De Chimutz. How could there be a machlekes hatanoim, the Rishalmi asks. How could there be a machlekes between Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and the Chachamim regarding rice, whether it's Boli De Chimutz, why, if it's supposed to correspond to reality, it's not Halacha Moshe Mesinai, so why don't they experiment and take a look to see whether it's Boli De Chimutz or not? So the Yerushalmi says, of course they experimented. They experimented, and that was, and it was something in between chimutz and sirchon. Let's say if you grind up kidneys and you mix it with water, there will also be a chemical reaction, but that reaction will not be chimutz, that'll be sirchon. And over here, by the rice, by the Orez V'doichen, it's something in between chimutz and sirchon, and that was the machlokes between Abichem and Menuhin and Hachamim. How do you define boli de chimutz? Is this considered sirchon? Or is this considered the chimutz? The Gemara says at the end of our Pesachim, the Mishnah says that on Pesach night you have to have Shnei Tavshilin on the Kairo. What is the Shnei Tavshilin all about? So there's a machlokes in the Gemara whether this din of Shnei Tavshilin only was introduced after the Churban by Sheni as a Zechel of Pesach and Zechel of Chagiga. That's the accepted opinion. That's what we assume. The Mishnah is on Kuf Yudalad Amin Aleph. The second Mishnah on Kuf Yudalad Amin Aleph. They reel upon of Matzah v'chazeres v'charoses v'shnei tavshilin. So what is the Shnei Tavshilin all about? So the Gemara has on the days, on Kuf Yudalad Amin Beis, the Gemara has a machlokes. So the original opinion in the Gemara is the Shnei Tavshilin is afilu bizman shebeis hamikdash hayikai. You have to have Shnei Tavshilin. What is it all about Shnei Tavshilin? So some suggest that it's similar to the din of the Erev Tisha B'Av, that there's a din in the Suda HaMavsekas, the last meal that you eat before Tisha B'Av, you're not allowed to eat Shnei Tavshilin, because that's called the Suda Chashuva. You already have to begin, you're not allowed to have Basa B'Yayin, you're not allowed to have Shnei Tavshilin. So Basa B'Yayin means a Chashuva Suda, even if that's all you're going to have, just a cup of wine, and just one piece of flesh, and the Shnei Tavshilin, even if it's all milchi. If you have two cooked items, Shnei Tavshilin, that means you have a two-course meal. So two-course meal is already a chashivas. So you're not allowed to have that. So some understand in the Havamin of the Gemara, Lemaskon is HaGemara, this whole Shnei Tavshilin was only introduced after the Churban by Sheni, Echad Zechel and Pesach, Echad Zechel and Chagiga, the two korbanos that were missing this man is there. But the Gemara thought originally otherwise. The Gemara originally thought that Shnei Tavshilin was not instituted after the Churban. I feel it was mana bais, there was also Shnei Tavshilin. So what it meant was that you shouldn't just eat matzah and then have the Korban Pesach, which is broiled and then benched. No, only you have one course meal. That's not chashuv enough. You have to have Shnei Tavshilin. You have to have the Korban Pesach with another Meichel. Or bizman hazeh, you don't have a Korban Pesach, so you have to have Shnei Tavshilin to demonstrate that you're eating a Suda Chashuva. So the Gemara has the machlokes, what constitutes Shnei Tavshilin? So the one opinion was that since we accept La Halacha that the Shnei Tavshilin was only instituted after the Churban HaBayis, Zechel HaPesach, and Zechel HaChagiga, So both of them were animals. The Pesach and the Chagiga are both korbanos, animals. So that's why there's one opinion that the Shnei Tavshilim have to be two pieces of flesh. And the Gemara says we don't paskin like that. It doesn't have to be two pieces of flesh. It's just a zecher. So it's even good if you have silk or arroza. Even if one of them is beets, silk is beets, and one of them is arroza and one of them is rice. If they're both cooked, if the beets are cooked and the rice is cooked, silk or arroza is also good for Shnei Tavshilim. Then the Gemara says it certainly will be a hidur if you'll have Shnei Tavshilim and a basar. It's a more mahuda, more fancy. You're going to have more zecher lePesach and zecher lChagiga. And nonetheless, one of the Amoraim was medactic because he heard from his Rebbe, Rava HaMahadir HaSilka BaRoiza, that's on Kuf Yudal on the base, since he heard from Rav Huna that Silka BaRoiza is good, Silka BaRoiza is Akula. Rav Huna said Akula, it's not necessary to have two pieces of flesh. It's even good if you have beets and rice. But Rav Huna, Rava cherished every word that he heard from his Rebbe Rav Huna. So even though Rav Huna said this as a kula, it's certainly a hidur mitzvah to have shnei bini kolshkin shnei bini bosa. Taisa says the hav and ofik mipude. Rav Huna, Rav wanted to always remember every year on Pesach. He wanted to reminisce about what he heard from Rav Huna. Those were the best years of his life, and we were sitting in the yeshiva and learning by his Rebbe, and he cherished every word that the Rebbe said. So he, out of chabibus of the Rebbe, it's not a hidur mitzvah in the shnei tavshilim. Hidur mitzvah shnei tavshilim would have required to have shnei bini bosa. But out of the Hidah mitzvah and Chavivus, Ahavas Talmid HaChamim, so he was Mahara to have Silka Varoiza. So the Gemara says, wait a minute, Silka Varoiza? You take rice and you cook it in a pot, and you cook it and you cook it, and it doesn't become Chametz? So it means it's against Rabbi Yechon Menuri. And there's no Indian to be Machma like Rabbi Yechon Menuri. Machma Tova Olaf Rocha, the Gemara has Tanoim and Beitza and other places, other Mesichtas. That even though a certain opinion was outvoted, but you still say Eli Eli Divide Kim Chayim, and there is, it does constitute a Midas Chasidus to be Choshish for the Shitzas HaYochid that's not accepted La Loche. So the Gemara says no. So the Gemara Shmamino lays the Chosh Lohad Rabbi Chamanuri. Nobody is even Choshish for Rabbi Chamanuri. There isn't any Midas Chasidus to be Machmer not to eat cooked rice on Pesach. So that's what the Balamor comments on that Gemara. You see from here that you're allowed to eat rice. What did he discover in America? Of course it says you're allowed to eat rice. It means he knew that they were the Ashkenazim who had the minig in the other parts of Europe. He lived in Provence. The Balamor lived in Lunel. Lunel means the moon. That's why he called the name of his sefer Hamor HaKot. That's what he writes in Hagdama. He lives in the city Lunel. So that means the moon. So he's naming the sefer after the city. But then when he gets to Nezikin, to Baba Kama, so he calls it the Mor HaGodol. Because he says, in order to understand the Inyan and Nezikin, the Mishnah says that Harotzah Shayachim Yaski Bedini Momin, Shemacham Mitzur Gonal Batera, Kibini Momin, Kinezikin. It's the Mishnah in the end of Baba Basra. So the Balmar says, in order to understand Nezikin, the light of the moon is not sufficient. You have to have sunlight. So that's why he calls his Pirish the Mor HaGodol, all of a sudden. The whole Balamor is always the Mor HaKotn Lunar. When it comes to Baba Kadna, Baba Tzi, Baba Basra, then it becomes the Mor HaGodol. So he knew, he lived in Provence, that's a little section, but he knew that in other parts of Europe, the Ashkenazim were machmer not to eat rice on Pesach night. So that's why he points out on this Gemara. The Gemara says, Beferish, Leis Luchosh Lohad Rabbi Menuri. There's nothing to be concerned about Rabbi Menuri Shita. There isn't even a Midas Chasidus to be machmer. When do you say, Eloyim Adivir Kim Chayim? When it's a Shailen Halacha. You can interpret the pasuk like this, you can interpret the pasuk like that. But if it's a question of metzias, he said, a question is a boli dechimot. So they experimented, they said, no, that's not boli dechimot. So he said, Rabbi Manuri made a mistake. It's not a question they held, it's not a question of drawing the line. Shami says they experimented and they looked at it and he said that's called boli dechimot. The Chachamim didn't disagree and say, no, you drew the line at the wrong place. They said, you're absolutely wrong. So it's not even shaykh to say it's amidas chasidus to be machman like the shitas ayochid. If the rabbim hold that the yochid is dead wrong, so it's, they hold that it's not even a pchina ve'elu ve'elu divide kim chayim, then you don't say that it's amidas chasidus to be choshish for the shitas ayochid. Where does the practice come from that the Balamor is attacking, that he doesn't like, that they didn't eat kidneys? That's based on a Gemara. If the Gemara says it's only bole dechimutz, it's a chameshes mini dogan, and oris is a machloikus, and kidneys there never was a machloikus. The only machloikus Rabbi Menuri and the Chachamim is whether rice belongs to the category of kidneys, or belongs to the category of dogon. But other things that are really kidneys, for sure it's not all of their feelings. So where did this meaning come from? That the Ashkenazim don't eat any kidneys. This is based on the Gemara Mem on the days. The Gemara says, Rapapi was the Mashgiach, or the Rabba Machshir, in the Reish Galusa's kitchen. So he permitted the chef in the kitchen, right before the Mishnah Mem on the base, Rav Papi Shorilei LeBurdiki the Bei Reish Galusa, he permitted the chef, LeMimchi Kedeira, to put into the soup that's cooking, to make it a little thicker, to put in chasisi. So what a chasisi? Some kind of a thing that's not chometz. So Tosis says, it means kidneys, the bottom line in the bottom Tosis. Adoshim. He allowed them to mix in ground up kidneys in order to thicken the soup. So Rava said, how can you allow that? By the Reish Galusa, the chef by the Reish Galusa, they're not so medactic in mitzvahs. If you allow them to thicken the soup with kidneys, the next thing you know is that they're going to pour in regular flour. And the regular flour will become chometzdik. So Rava says it's not a smart idea. So it's based on that Gemara, the way Tosis quotes the Ri. The Oruch, first quotes the Oruch. Based on the Pirush of the Oruch that Rava recommends, if you're dealing with people who are not B'nai Torah, it's not a smart idea to permit them to use kidneys. Because if you'll allow them to cook the kidneys, the next thing you know is that they'll mix in regular flour also. So that's what our Chumah, that's what the Chumah of the Ashkenazim is based on. There is a big machloikis in the Poskim, how far this meaning of kidneys goes. Let's say you have Pesach bigger flour and you make matzahs. Are you permitted to eat matzahs on Pesach? Of course everybody eats matzahs on Pesach. So let's say you have kidneys and you baked matzahs out of the kidneys. You were very careful you were so careful with the kidneys, the same way one would be careful with flour, regular flour that grows from the that comes from ground up grains. So you baked matzahs with kidneys. So I can't be more chomer than regular flour. So the pashta says that it should be mutter. Or let's say you took kidneys. See, if you take kidneys and you grind it up, let's say you have rice and you cook it in a pot. So if you would have had grain and cook it in a pot, it would turn into chometz. So that's the chumrah of the Ashkenazim that the Balamor is reacting against. That he doesn't hold for that chumer, not to cook rice. Nothing wrong cooking rice. But let's say you'll take rice and you make a pudding out of it. You'll bake it already. You'll bake it in less than 18 minutes. So what can be wrong, even if it would have been flour mamish? If you baked it in less than 18 minutes, it's not bolu dechima. So the pashta says that it should be mutter. So that was a big machloikis in the achrayim. So many of the achrayim said mutter. And the minig, as it turns out now, the minig is that we don't allow kidneys at all. Even though you treated the kidneys in such a way that if it would have been dog and mamish, it wouldn't have turned into chametz. Nonetheless, the common practice now is that the people are not mamish. That's the shalom. Shemen kidneys. What's wrong with shemen kidneys? Let's say you take grain, and somehow you succeed in getting oil out of the grain. So what's wrong with the oil out of the grain? It's not bolu dechima. The grain wasn't, you crushed the kernels of grain and you squeezed out the oil, let's say. So what's wrong with that? So what's wrong with crushing the kidneys kernels and getting out the oil? If you can take grain and get out the oil, and that's not chometz. It's only chometz if the grain sits with water for a long period of time. So the meaning is that we don't allow that either. That was a big asik many years ago when Rabbi Cook was the first chief Rabbi Cook. I think before he was in Yerushalayim, when he was first in Yafo. So there was a Ben Torah who wanted to make a few dollars. So he gave him a hechsher on some kind of a shemen kidneys. And at that time, the roiv of the poskim held the hakel. By now, the roiv of the poskim held the hakel. But at that time, the majority of the poskim said lahakel. So he said lahakel. He gave the hechsher. So the badats of the Eidah Haredes almost buried him alive. So they made a whole tumult there. That's kidneys and kidneys, you're not allowed to do. That's the accepted opinion now, that we don't allow kidneys, even in a matzav, that if it would have been flour mamish, it would have been mutter. So we're machmer not to permit any kidneys at all. Anyway, so what's the definition of chometz? So again, the Gemara says that it corresponds to something in reality. Chimutz as opposed to sirchon, and they tested it out, and that's how the Tanaim established which are the chameshis mini dogon. There's a professor in Eretz Yisrael who published a book about where he identifies what the vegetables are in the Talmud. So he claims that rye didn't exist in the Middle East in the days of the Tanoim. So rye cannot be the translation of one of the Chameshis Minadot. Even if he's right, it's not relevant l'alocha. Rye has the same properties as wheat and barley. It's still barley dechimut. So that's really the comment that he made on the rye is really lo malo v'lo mar. It's a historical comment. That it's not really, he claims that it's not really correct that rye is a translation of one of the Chameshis Minadot. So it does make a difference if you can find a new vegetable that grows in Africa in the jungles that has the same properties as the Chameshis Minadot. It's also going to be dogon. That was the machloek. It's not a halacha l'moshe misina that it's restricted only to five. That was the machloek of Bechem and Nuri the Rabbanon. They experiment and they had a machloek. They said, if this is called chimatz asichon, so rye is basically the same. The oats, that's the shayla. That's the big question now. Whether the oats are considered, this professor claims in the same book, Professor Felix claims in the same book, that oats is a mistranslation. It's not one of the Chameshis Minidogon. Okay, so it's the same as rye. So it can still be from the Chameshis. It can still have the same dinim as the Chameshis Minidogon if it has the same property. So that's the question. Oats doesn't have fully the same property as the wheat and the barley. That's the shaila. That is usually assumed that the property that the Gemara calls chimutz is what corresponds to a certain property that the wheat and the barley has. Namely, that it has gluten in it, and when it rises, it's going to form a shape on top. That's the Mishnayos describe it like that, like an atom bomb, a thing on top like this. So the shaila is that the oats doesn't have sufficient gluten. It has so insignificant amount of gluten, even people who are allergic to gluten don't get sick. A lot of them don't get sick when they eat oats because it's so insignificant, and the taka doesn't form that thing on top. So that's a shaila. Is that sufficient amount of gluten to be labeled as chimutz? And some say they're still experimenting. Some say that oats don't really have any gluten at all. They liken up the whole thing. They say the only reason why it has a little bit of gluten is because it's grown near wheat and barley. So that's why it has a little gluten. But if you would isolate oats in a separate field, and the wind wouldn't be blowing from the other fields, they have a half minute to think that it wouldn't have any gluten. So they say maybe it's not bole dechimutz. So that's the question. What brach do you say when you eat your Cheerios? Is it really gore min mizaynus? Or is it bore piva adama? Maybe oats is not from the chameshis minidot. So that's, they're still pilpling about that. So again, so the Gemara establishes this idea, the chameshis minidogon, is based on the principle of chimutz. Yeah, has to be. How is it going to be boiled? The chimutz. So the Gemara says you have to mix it with water. If you mix it with mei peiris, so the Gemara says on the top line on lamin ham the base, then mei peiris ain't machmitz. Mei peiris will not cause it to become chametz. And if you do mix it with water, you mix it with water, it becomes chametz right away. So how do you have matzah? The answer is no. If you mix it with water and you let it sit for a long time without any hisaskus, how long does it have to sit? So the Mishnah says, Amem Ches Amadeis, the second Mishnah, Amem Ches Amadeis, says it has to sit for quite a while. The Gemara says earlier, if it sits for less than a shear mil, then there's nothing to discuss. A shear mil is the amount of time that it takes for an average person to walk a mil. A mil is alpai mama, so how long does it take for an average person to walk a mil? That's a question. How fast does the average person work? Walk. If he's jogging, he'd go much faster. That's not called the average person walking. So that's a question in Paschim. How long is a mil? The Mishnah Berurah always says mil is 18 minutes. And others say mil is 24 minutes. And Leo Levy claims a mil is 22 and a half minutes. And so you just make arithmetic. You don't need higher mathematics. And so you just study the Gemara. In the ninth parak, Misha Hayatami, the Gemara tells you how many mil a person walks in the course of a day. And 12 hours in a day, just calculate simple arithmetic. So he claims that it's really 22 and a half minutes. Either Mishnah Berurah quotes more the classical post when they say mil is 18 minutes. So Leo Levy says that they were working with a clock that didn't have 60 minutes in an hour. They were working with a different clock system. So the minutes were longer. The minutes had more seconds than our minutes. And he documents it. He quotes the Svarim. We'll talk about that. They said it had a different system of counting time, but the way we count time there are 60 minutes to an hour, so he claims that it's a double bar, that's 22 and a half minutes. Okay, so again, so the Gemara says if the water with the flour is sitting for less than a shear mil, less than 18 minutes, 22 and a half minutes, 24 minutes, whatever shear mil is, so the Gemara says no chashash at all. For sure it didn't become chometz. If it's more than a shear mil, so if there's a saskus, if you need it, the Gemara says, afilu kalayam kula, it won't become chometz. But if there's no saskus, so then you have to begin to be concerned about the possibility that maybe it'll turn into chometz. So the Mishnah Mem Chesam base assumes that chometz is a process. It doesn't happen just like this, at the snap of a finger in a second. Up until now it was not chometz, and now all of a sudden it becomes chometz. Now the Gemara says a long process. First the chometz process begins, and then it takes a while till the chometz process is concluded. So if the chometz process began, that's called seor. To distinguish it from seor, which appears in the Chumash, this is spelled by the Mishnah Shin Yud Aleph Vav Resh Seor. To distinguish it from Seor in the Chumash, and this means if the chimutz process has begun. So if the chimutz process begun and then you eat it on Pesach, you're not going to be chayv kares, because it's not chometz dog and gomer, it's only chometz nuksha. That's one kind of chometz nuksha. Chometz nuksha is a term that appears in the Gemara at the beginning of Perek Elo Ivrim, and it has several different meanings. So one of the meanings is when the chimutz process began but it didn't complete yet. So exactly when is it considered the beginning of the chimutz process, when is it considered the Gemar of the chimutz process? So that's a machlokes in the Mishnah between Reb Yehuda and Reb Meir. The Mishnah and the Braisa, the last 10 lines on Daf Mem Ches on the base. So one Tana holds everything is an earlier stage. This is already called Chilos HaChimus, this is already called Gemar HaChimus, and the next Tana says no. What he holds is Gemar HaChimus, that's what I consider Chilos HaChimus, and Gemar HaChimus is even later. In the Shulchan Aruch, the Gemara says you're not allowed to knead the matzah with poshrin, with warm water. If you're going to knead it with warm water, it's going to be Memar LaHachmus, that's on Lamed Vav and Aleph. Gemara says everybody agrees Rishavin on the second wide line. Gemara quotes Rishavin, all agree Shein Loshem Asisa B'Poshrim. You're not allowed to knead the dough with warm water because warm water will be Memahir Lahachna. So let's say you'll knead the dough water with regular water, but you'll knead the dough with regular water, but you'll hold the dough near an open oven and the heat is coming out from the oven. So whenever there's heat, whenever there's extra warm, so that's going to be Memahir Lahachna. The Darkei Moshe on the bottom of the tour, it's the commentary by the Ramo, on the bottom of the tour, quotes the Tshuvas HaRashbo. The Rashbo writes that when they learned by the Ramban in Barcelona, so they used to knead the matzahs in the Ramban's home, and then they used to walk down the block to bake the matzahs in the oven. And it was springtime and the sun was shining, and they walked outside and their matzahs were exposed to the sun. But it wasn't a heat wave. It wasn't springtime, it was nice weather. And he says they didn't run, they walked down the block to the oven without running. So Rabbi Shevel Zechon Levracha, who published so many scholarly editions of the Ramban, before he wrote his biography of the Ramban, so he decided to go visit Barcelona. And he found that the Ramban's home is still there, and the bakery is still there. And it's quite a walk. It's a few minutes walk down the block. And he says, the Rashba writes that they didn't run, they just walked down the block. So the Pashtus is, it says in Shulchan Aruch that you should be careful that after you kneaded the flour with the water, you should hasten quickly to bake it in the oven, because the palms of the hand are going to be warm. The body temperature is 98 degrees. And then when you're working to knead the dough by hand, so then you're going to be perspiring and your hand is going to be a little warmer than 98 and it's going to make the dough a little warm. So it's going to be Memar LaHachmetz. It says in Shulchan Aruch that you should make sure that you don't dilly-dally, that you should bake it quickly. So the Chazon Ish says on that sif in the Shulchan Aruch, you should hasten to bake it quickly means 18 minutes. You have a full 18 minutes. As it says in the Tshuvas HaRashbo, they were not nervous. They walked down the block and the sun was shining and it was exposed. And they walked slowly until they got to the bakery and they put it in the bakery. Others are always running. others, for the minute that they need the dough, so they run to put it into the oven. Yeah, if you're needing the dough in the same room where the oven is, and the oven is open and the heat is coming, so you better hurry up to run in. So that's why they always keep the oven in some other room, or they keep the door of the oven closed to make sure that the heat doesn't hit the raw dough. So in order to be chametz, again, you have to have, it should be from the chameshis mini dogan that are boim l'dei chimutz, as opposed to kidneys, which is only boim l'dei sirchon. And I have to have water as opposed to meperis. The Gemara says meperis ain't machmitzim. And then the Mishnah on Memtesanabe says it has to be sitting there for a significant amount of time. So the Gemara says that less than a shear mill, less than 18 minutes, there's nothing to worry about at all. More than 18 minutes is what to start thinking about, whether there's what to worry about. That's called Seyer. The Tchilas Achimetz process is called Seyer, and that's a machlekes hatanami between Rabbi Yudah and Rabbi Meir. When is it considered the Tchilas Achimetz process, that you're not allowed to eat it? When is it the Gemara Achimetz process? There are three machlekes in between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yudah. The Mishnah only has two and a half of them machlekes. When is the beginning of the Achimetz process? When is the Gemara of the Achimetz process? The third machlekes is whether the prohibition against eating Seir on Pesach is an Issa Daraisa or an Issa Derabbanan. So the Mishnah starts up Seir Yisore for Ha'ochlo Potter. If you eat Seir on Pesach, you don't get Malkus. Why don't you get Malkus? Because the whole prohibition is only with the Rabbanan. Until Gemar HaChimutz, if the Chimutz process began but it didn't complete yet, so then the whole prohibition against eating is only with the Rabban. That's the opinion of the first time. That's Divrei Rav Yudah. And the Gemara says in Menaches on Daf Nun Gimel, where this is quoted, the Gemara points out that Rav Meir, the other Tana with the Segiz, on the other two points, one is the Tchilas HaChimutz process, one is the Gemar HaChimutz process, so the other Tana, Rav Meir, disagrees on this as well. And he thinks that the prohibition against eating Seyor is an Issa Deraisa, and there would be Malkus. This is a question. If one should assume that this is really an Issa Deraisa, like Rav Meir, to what extent, or even if it's an Issa Derabbanan, the question is, to what extent did the Chachomim, or to what extent did the Torah declare this as Chomitz? He said that there's no Koris if you eat it. He said there's no Koris, Machlokes, whether there's an Issa Deraisa, whether there's Malkus or not. So to what extent did the Torah, did the Chachamim introduce this prohibition on something that has Chilas Chimutz? Let's say Chometz has a Dina Ba'yiro Ba'yimotze. So would there be a Dina Ba'yiro Ba'yimotze on Seyor? Maybe it's, let's say if you assume that Seyor is Deraisa, maybe it's only a Ribu in a Pasuk. So the Pasuk is only Marbet that there's an Isra Achila, the Pasuk is Marbet that it has the Din of Chometz with respect to all the dinim. Let's say an Erev Pesach. An Erev Pesach is also forbidden to eat chametz, but it's not to the same extent as the prohibition against eating chametz on Pesach. If one eats chametz with Pesach, it's punished with karis. If one eats chametz on Erev Pesach, the Rambam passed like the Tana Reb Yudah that it's a lav, and the Ramban and most of the Rishonim passed like the Tana Reb Shimon that it's not a lav. It's only an Issa Rasei. So the question is, do you have to be machman not to eat Seir or even on Erev Pesach? Maybe the Yisra of Seir, if it's the Raisa, the Rabbanu, whatever, maybe the Yisra of Seir was only Nischadish on Pesach, maybe on Erev Pesach, maybe there's no Yisra of Seir. Or let's say, Benegir to Chalas Toido, when you bring a Korban Toido, so some of the Chalas have to be Matzah, some of the Chalas have to be Chometz. So those Chalas that have to be Chometz, what if you made it Chometz only to the extent of Tchilas Achimut's process? But that's why it's a Menachas Daf Nun Gimel. That's what the Gemara discusses in Menachas. So the Gemara says, well, according to the Tana who says Ochlo Patur, according to the first Tana of Yudah, he says that Seir min HaTorah is not Chometz. The whole din of Seir is only with the Rabbanim and there's no Malkus. According to him, that it's not Chometz, so for sure it's not acceptable for a Chalas Toida. So the Chalas, for the Lachmei Toida, there have to be Chometz. The Shaila is according to the Tana Rab Meir. Rab Meir holds that if you eat Seir the Pesach, you do get Malkus. That's the Gemara Menachas Daf Nun Gimel Aman Aleph and Chulan Daf Kov Gimel, both Gemaras. Says that it's a machleg zameh, Rav Yudah, whether the prohibition against eating Seir, the Pesach is an Issa Derais and Issa Derabbanan. So that's what the Gemara is done on. Maybe the Issa of Seir, even if it's an Issa Derais, and maybe it's only relevant the chometz bePesach maybe doesn't apply with respect to the chometz of the lachmitoy. So the Gemara is not sure about that. The Gemara has a whole discussion. That's one kind of chometz nukshi. Seir was one kind, where the tchilas achimas process began, but it didn't finish yet. Rashi writes on Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, there's a famous Rashi on Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, about 15 lines from the top, and Tesis quotes it on Lamed Hay on the base, Tesis quotes the Rashi, and they disagree with the Rashi. Rashi comments on the Gemara, on the top line on Lamed Hay on the base, they made Peris a machmitzim. The Rashi says, that only means if you mix the flour with May Peris, even if you leave it all day long, it will not become Chametz Dov and Gomer. But it will be, the Tchilas Hachimus process will set in. It'll never lead to the Gemar Hachimus process. And not only will the Tchilas Hachimus process set in, similar to mixing in water, no, Rashi has a Gemar Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, no, it'll be Memahir Lahachmetz. It'll become Chametz faster than if you would have mixed it with water. If you mix it with water, less than 18 minutes, the Gemara says nothing to worry about at all. Less than a shemil, no problem at all. And Rashi learns the Gemara Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. If he mixed in May Peris with flour, it may even begin the chimas process in less than 18 minutes. Tosis is not happy with the Rashi. Tosis says they don't believe that that's correct, and they interpret the Gemara Lamed Vav Amud Aleph differently, but that's Rashi's sheep. So that's why we have a chumer not to eat matzahs that were needed with May Peris all of Pesach, because we're concerned. According to Rashi, it's Memahir Lahachmetz. That's what it sounds like it says in the Gemara. Pesach just quotes a suffix of Rashi. This long Pesach Laman Hand the Days, the last 10 lines, they quote, Ube May Beitzim this topic Rashi. Rashi was not sure about egg matzahs. If you only have, I think the way they make the egg matzahs now, they mix in egg with apple cider. So apple cider is May Peris. And egg, Rashi writes, is mesupik, whether May Beitzim is the same as May Peris, or maybe it's the same as water. What led him to the suffix? If you mix flour with May Beitzim, the dough becomes very thick, more so than if you would have mixed it with water. So Rashi thinks that maybe May Beitzim is mamish the same as water, and it becomes chametz dov and gomer. He's not sure. He's not sure what the story is. So that's why the Ramo and Shulchan Aruch quotes the Chumrah that it's not proper to have egg matzahs or to have matzahs with apple cider or with grape juice or whatever, because according to this opinion of Rashi, the May Peris on the Mahir Lahachmitz, I think Mar says May Peris are not Machmitzim at all. No. It means it'll never complete the process of to become Chametz Dov and Gomer. But the Tchilas Hachimitz process will set in. It will begin. So these are two types of Chometz Nukshe, according to Rashi. One is where the process began, and theoretically it will continue if you leave everything the way it is. That's a Memches on the base, the Seir. That's one kind of Nukshe. And then there's another kind of Nukshe, which according to Rashi is the May Peris. The process will never be completed. The only thing that will happen, it'll begin, but it'll never complete itself. The Rashi says, based on the Gemara Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, that's also considered Chometz Nukshe. Then in Shulchan Aruch they have another kind of Chometz Nukshe based on the Gemara that in Kol HaTorah Kula the din is that if you have non-kosher food that sniffs on the Achilas Adam, it becomes Mutar B'Achila. That's based on a pasuk in Chumash Devarim that says, what do you do with Nevela? The Chumash says, L'Ager Asher V'Sherachet Yitnena B'Acholo or Mochol Anochi. You should sell the Nevela to a non-Jew or give it away to a non-Jew because you're not permitted to eat it. So the Gemara in Avodah Zarah is Medai from the Mashmos of the Pasuk. Nevela Haruya Lager, if it's fit for human consumption, a Ger Toshel, doesn't mean a Ger Tzedek. Ger Tzedek is not allowed to eat the Nevelas. If the Nevela is fit for human consumption, Kruya Nevela. If it's Nevela Shein Haruya Lager, if it's not fit for human consumption, and a Kruya Nevela, and it's Muta Menat Torah. Yeah. And Chometz, the Gemara says that that's not sufficient. Just because Nifsam Achilas Sodom is not enough to be Matir, you have to add that it should be Nifsam Achilas HaKelev. That's a question. Where did that come from? Where did that chumer come from? So this is a big machlokes in the Rishonim, the Prima Gadim, in his Psichet Ilchas Pesach. He elaborates upon this theme. The Gemara says in the first perek in Beitza, the Gemara in the first perek in Beitza quotes a Tosefta in Beitza, that Sa'or, that the Chumash speaks of, is not Roy Lachila. What is Sa'or? When you mix flour with water, it's not going to, if you mix flour with water, just bacon, it's not going to taste good. It's going to be hard like a rock. So you want to wait till it rises and has a lot of air spaces in it. Then it's going to taste like bread, cake, cookies, whatever it's supposed to taste like. So if you want to sit and wait till it's going to rise, it's going to take you half a day till it rises. So you have to buy some yeast in the store and throw in the yeast, and the yeast, these microorganisms, are going to multiply, and you're going to have million, billion, trillion, zillion microorganisms, and that's going to cause it to rise. In the days of the Gemara, they didn't have Fleischmann's dry yeast. So what they used to do was, they used to mix flour, someone mixed flour and water, and they sat for 6 hours, and they let it rise. And after it would rise for so long, then they would bake all of it, and then they would save a little bit of the dough, of the raw dough, if you're going to bake it, so the heat of the oven is going to kill all the microorganisms. So they're not going to keep on multiplying. That's the Holocaust. You kill all the billions of microorganisms. So if you take a piece of raw dough, you let it sit there, so they're going to keep on multiplying. They're going to keep on having another billion, trillion, zillion microorganisms. And then this thing is not roi l'achila. This raw dough, it's awful. It's all microorganisms. There's no more dough left. The microorganisms ate up all the dough. And once they eat up all the dough, so they can't keep on multiplying. They still remain alive, but they don't keep on multiplying. So next time you're going to mix flour with water, you want it to rise, so you take that old dough, throw it in. That old dough was absolutely not roi l'achila something. You taste it, it's sour. It tastes awful. So that's what the Tosefta points out in the first perek in Beitza, that despite the fact that Sa'or, the nifsa mi'achila, and whatever is macholas asuris, nifs ma'achila should be muta b'achila. Nonetheless, the Chumash says you're not permitted to eat Sa'or. So that's a chiddush. Hayitochen, how come? So the Tosefta explains, hoyel v'roi l'chametz bo isis acheris. Since this can serve as, since, why do we save this dough? Why do we save the raw yeast? To serve as an ingredient to mix in when we're going to mix the next batch of dough, that this should cause it to rise. And when it's going to blend in, when I'm going to put it in the next dough, I'll mix the whole thing in together, and I will eat it at the end. As it stands now, you can't eat it. So the Gemara explained, the Tosefta explains that that's the reason why the Sa'or is also b'achila, and the din of Bar Yerah Bar Matzah only applies if the thing is also b'achila. If it would have been muta b'achila, so you can't have a din of Bar Yerah Bar Matzah. So the reason why it's muta b'achila, the reason why it's also b'achila, despite the fact that it's nifsal me'achila, is because Ver l'chametz b'isis achiras. Rav Chaim Moshe points out in one of his tshuvas that this chiddush is not only a chiddush in Hilchas Pesach. The Mishnais have this in Orla, and in Trumas. You have sugyas in the Gemara about this. You have Sa'or shel Orla or Sa'or shel Truma, and it falls into other dough that asks, I discern nifsal me'achila. So the answer is Ver l'chametz b'isis achiras. So that's a din. You see from the Mishnayos, the Tanaim understood that this is a din in Kol HaTorah Kula, that if you have something which is not Ver l'chametz, but it's an ingredient. Let's say you have Trefa Crisco. That's made mamish from Chazer Shmaltz. So who would eat Crisco? Doesn't taste good. It's like eating wax. Which Mishnah is that even children do. Children eat the margarine, all kinds of crazy things, but no one eats Crisco. It has no flavor at all. But nonetheless, what do you use Crisco for? You blend it in as an ingredient in another food. Once you blend it in, the food tastes delicious. So that's, learned that from this pasuk of Sa'or. It's not only a local din in Hilchos Pesach. You see from the Tanoim and the Mishnah, it's all over, that this din applies in Kol HaTorah Kula. Whatever is an ingredient, and it's Oymed L'Kas, is going to be mixed into other food. And after you mix it in, the whole thing will be tasty. That's the way people cook. So the original thing retains its shemach. So here there is a machlokes harishonim, how to understand this Tosefta and Beitza in the first pair. Tosefta said that the Sa'or is nifsal me'achilas whom? Nifsal me'achilas Adam? Or is it nifsal me'achilas HaKelev? So that's the machlokes. And some Rishonim understood that the Sa'or is only nifsal me'achilas Adam. A kelev would eat it. Kelev would eat the thing. And nonetheless, the Chumash says that it's aser. And the reason why is because Rei Lacham is Beis Acheres. So that's when the Gemara says, you have to have nifs on the Achilas HaKelev. But let's say the thing is not Rei Lacham, it's Beis Acheres. Then once it's nifs on Achilas Adam, it's already nifs. The Raivid disagrees. The Raivid on the side of the Rambam disagrees. When the Rambam quotes in Hilchos Chametz Matz, when the Rambam quotes his Tosefta, that the Seor is not Rei Lachilas Adam, so he writes, I beg your pardon, it's not even Rei Lachilas HaKelev. So the Raivid holds that the din of Rei Lachametz Beis Acheres, that the thing is an ingredient, and you mix it in, and then it's going to be tasty, that causes it to retain the Shem Oichel. That's true even if it's not Lachilas HaKelev. If it's Rei Lachametz Beis Acheres, it's an ingredient, it remains also the Yon HaVod. So when the Gemara says that Chometz is also Achila up until the point that nifs on the Achila Sakelev, is not because it's Rei Lachametz Beis Acheres. Even if it's not Rei Lachametz Beis Acheres, it's a new din. So that's the question, where does this come from? So that's a problem. That's what the Chazanish works on, that's what the Kingdom works on. Where does this Chumah come from? But that's the Halacha, the Chometz, that's what we're Machmer. Chometz, even though it's nifs on the Achila Sodom, remains Osir up until the point of nifs on the Achila Sakelev, even though it's not Rei Lachametz Beis Acheres. According to many Rishonim, the din is not true. According to many Rishonim, the halacha that if chametz you have to have nifs and achilas hakelev is only in the case where it is Rei Lachametz Beis Acheres. But if it's not Rei Lachametz, then all you need is nifs and achilas adam. You don't need nifs and achilas hakelev. That's machleg is derived in all the other Rishonim. So lemaisa we're machmer on that, that chametz has to be nifs and achilas hakelev under all circumstances. So in Shulchan Aruch they explain, what if you mix flour with water with other ingredients in such a way that when it becomes chametz, it mixed in so many different ingredients, it doesn't become chametz the second you mix it together. It doesn't become chametz in less than 18 minutes either. It takes a while, it takes longer than 18 minutes till the chametz process begins. What if by the time it turns into chametz, it was never Rei Lachilas Adam from the very beginning? From the very, very beginning, when it was grain, it was Rei Lachilas Adam. You pluck it off from the stalks and you can eat the grain. When you ground it up, you could have made delicious cake or cookies or bread out of it. Could have made matzahs out of it. But from the time it became chametz, it wasn't Rei Lachilas HaKelev. It wasn't Rei Lachilas Adam. So that's also called M'shulchan Aruch. That's defined as chametz nuksha. If in the very beginning, if it was once Rei Lachilas Adam, then became nifsan Lachilas Adam, still Rei Lachilas HaKelev, I say that's also, that's chametz. But what if in chilas chimutzoi, from the first moment that it became chametz, from the very beginning, it was not Rei Lachilas Adam, it was only Rei Lachilas HaKelev. So that's also called chametz nuksha. And then the Vilna Gaon talks about a fourth kind of chametz nuksha. What if it was Rei Lachilas Adam, but it's not Oymed Lachilas Adam? Let's say you have glue, or you have Play-Doh, or something else. It may be that it is Rei Lachilas Adam. Mix in a little sugar, maybe the Play-Doh is Rei Lachilas Adam. I don't know. But as it stands now, nobody mixed in any sugar, and it's aimed as Play-Doh, or it's glue, or something else. People are not, there's starch in the shirts or something. It's Rei Lachilas Adam. If you mix it into some food, it won't taste so bad. Mix it into the soup, it'll add a flavor probably, I don't know. But it's not Oymed Lachilas Adam. So the Vilna Gaon says that some poskim hold that too is belongs under the category of chametz nuksha. So you have chametz dogen gomor, has an isa karis if you eat it on Pesach. And if you eat chametz nuksha, that's not going to be an isa karis. Mishnah that we started with, Laman Hamad Aleph, is really talking about matzah. But in order to define matzah, you have to first give this definition of chametz. Matzah is when you mix flour with water in such a way that if you would have let it sit long enough, it would have been boleh dechimutz, and you baked it quickly, so it was not boleh dechimutz. So then it has the status of matzah. Yeah, that's not enough just to it was a mixture that could have become chametz and you prevented it from becoming chametz. The halacha says it has to be lechem. In order to be considered matzah, it has to be lechem. It says lechem oni. When is something considered lechem? So the Gemara has a whole discussion. There's a famous Tosfos on Lamed Zayin Amud Beis in Pesachim. It happens that this same topic appears in Brachas Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, just by sheer coincidence. And Tosfos alludes to that Gemara. Brachas Lamed Zayin Amud Beis and Pesachim Lamed Zayin Amud Beis. The Gemara speaks about the din of Lechem with respect to matzah. Matzah is a din that rice has to be hoy b'cholchem lechem. It has to be lechem only. And the Gemara speaks about the din of lechem with respect to challah. One is only chayv and challah. The pasuk says in Chumash, "Vay b'cholchem lechem ha'aretz." If you eat lechem, if the thing is not called lechem, then it's not chayv and challah. So that's what the Rabbi Natan puts together all the Gemaras, and he comes up with a conclusion that we have not accepted. There's a machloek to say the Rabbi Natan and the Ramban. What's the definition of lechem? So Rabbi Natan in this Tosfos Lamed Zayin Amud Beis claims, if you have a blila ova. There's a lisha. If you have a blila ova, it means a thick dough, a lisha. Then even if you don't do an afiyah later on, even if you just cook it, let's say you made balls, you made thick balls of dough with water, and then you cooked it in a pot of water. The Gemara says if you do chalita, let's say I have a pot with water that's bubbling hot, burning hot water, and I pour in flour. So the Gemara says if you pour in raw flour into burning hot water, that accomplishes chalita, so that'll prevent it from becoming chametz. If you mix flour with water and let it sit for a long time, long enough, then it becomes chametz. If you mix flour with water, you make dough out of it and you bake it, so the baking stops it. So whatever is afui does not become chametz, not bole de chametz. That's what the matzah mel is all based on. If you take matzahs that are all baked already, and then you crush it and you make tiny particles out of it, so even if you mix it with water, you let it sit for hours and hours, so the Gemara says that it's not bole de chametz. The Hasidim have a chumah that they don't eat gibrochs, because they're concerned that maybe part of the matzah mel didn't really get fully, maybe part of the matzah didn't really get fully baked, so maybe some of it is still raw dough. So it's not continuing to turn into chametz, because when you put it in the oven, all of the moisture evaporated, so the chametz process terminates. But now if you put it into water, so now we have to be choshish, maybe that's what the Hasidim thought. You have to be choshish, maybe some of the matzah wasn't well baked, and it's still raw, so if you put it in water now, so the chametz process will begin, or continue where it left off. If you had, let's say, 5 minutes, it was sitting. Prevented the chametz process from continuing, and then you let it sit for another few minutes later on. I am a tzaref a few minutes from before, but a few minutes from later. So that's a sofik in the Gemara. So that's the chumra that the Hasidim had. But Mikra then leaving out the chumras, it says in the Gemara that whatever is ready offway cannot become. That's the bottom of laf lametes on the base. Tana Rabbana. The brisa that appears right after the Mishnah. If you have something that was baked already, so it's not bole de chametz. Let's say I took flour, not matzah mel. Matzah mel you can let it sit forever, and we assume it's not going to turn into chametz. It's ofui. I take pesach nigger flour that's not chametz. I pour it into. So if I put it into room temperature water and I let it sit for a few hours, then it's going to become chametz dog and gomer. I don't put it into regular water. I put it into burning hot water, and the water is burning. So then the Braisa says that chalita arrests the flour and prevents it from turning into chametz. Chalita prevents it from turning into chametz. That's the Braisa in the Gemara. So the Rabbi Natan has like this. He says there are two types of lechem. There's one type of lechem. Let's say he did a blila ova. You have a lisha, flour with water. And then instead of baking it in an oven, I throw it into a pot of burning hot water, and the chalita will arrest the chametz process. It won't turn into chametz, but it's not going to be baked. It's going to be soft like a knedel. So is that good for matzah? So Rabbi Natan says, yeah, that's called lechem. You say hamoitzi, and you say brichas hamazon, and that's called lechem. You're yotze the mitzvah of achilas matzah on that. One kind of lechem is if it had a blila ova and it has a bishul later on. The other kind of lechem is if it had a blila rakah, but then you do an afiyah. You have to have either one or the other. Either you have to have a lisha or you have to have an afiyah. Either one or the other endows it with the shame lechem. This is Rabbeinu Tam Shita, both for challah and for hamoitzi. It's quoted in Yeridei in Hilchas Challah, and it's quoted in Orechaim in Hilchas Birchas Hamazon and Birchas Hamoitzi. Yeah. Then Shulchan Aruch says we don't pass like this, Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam holds for chiyuv challah. He says like this: if you do a blila ovah, if you do a lisha, then you mafresh challah right away before you bake it or before you cook it, because it already has the blila, already has the lisha that's going to give it the shem lechem. If you're not going to cook it later on, it won't be called lechem, but it already has the lisha that's going to give it the shem lechem. What happens if you do a blila rako? It's not a thick dough. You just mixed flour with water. But then the Rabbeinu Tam hold you can't be mafresh challah until after you bake it. That's a thesis in Sanhedrin and Baba Kama, because it doesn't get a shem lechem until you have the afiyah later on. So this is the Rabbeinu Tam Shita, that either one or the other, based on Gemara, is based on Mishnayos, the way he interpreted all the Mishnayos and all the Gemara. There are one or two, that's on Lamed Zayin on the base, the long Tosfos, that there are one or two things that accomplish to give the food a shem lechem, either the lisha or the afiyah. And the Ramban's opinion is the accepted opinion. Ramban disagrees with the Rabbeinu Tam, he says no. It's irrelevant whether you have a lisha or not. Doesn't matter whether you have a blila of a blila raka. Everything depends on the afiyah. If you have an afiyah at the end, then it has a shein lechem. If you don't have an afiyah at the end, even if you had a blila of in the beginning, it's not going to have a shein lechem. So even though we don't accept this Rabbeinu Tam Shita, that he says that there's one or the other, either the lisha or the afiyah gives it the shein lechem, this Rabbeinu Tam is relevant to halacha in the following sense. The Gemara learns up in the pasuk v'shmartem es hamatzos. That's a mem amud aleph, 10 lines from the bottom. The Gemara quotes from Chumash Shmos, chapter Yud Beis. V'shmartem es hamatzos implies that you have to have shmura matzah. In order to be yotzi dechavis hamitz, we need shmura matzah. What exactly does it mean shmura matzah? So the Gemara says there are two levels, there are two dinim, there are two parts to the din of shmura matzah. First of all, you need Shima Mechimutz. And secondly, the Gemara clearly states that you have to have Asiyah Lishma. That Gemara, Daf Mem Amud Aleph, talks about Shima Mechimutz. And the Gemara earlier, on Lamed Chesam Ebeis, speaks the Farish about Asiyah Lishma, that the matzahs have to be baked Lishma. That's why the Rishonim say, the Ritzvo, Amstachin writes on Lamed Chesam Ebeis, if a non-Jew will bake the matzahs, it's going to be lacking the Shema. Because whoever is Eina B'Torah, any given mitzvah, doesn't have the ability to create the Shema. That's how they understood the Gemara in Gittin. The Gemara says that if a non-Jew or an Ebik 90 will write a get, so the get will not be kosher, because Eina B'Torah is Gittin Likidushim. What is an Eina B'Torah? So the Goyim understood, and that's the Rav Chaim Soloveitchik quotes this in the Sefer on the Rambam, in the name of the dying Rav Simcha Zelig from Brisk. So he writes in his name that whoever is Eina B'Toiras is unable to create Lishma. So an Eved or an Akum who, or Eina B'Toiras Gitni Kiddushin are unable to create Lishma. It's not a psychological issue, it's a halachic statement. Al Pidin, you have to be B'Toiras, that Parsha, to create Lishma on that issue. So that's what the Goyim say over here. If a non-Jew will make the matzahs, will do the Asiyas HaMatzahs, the non-Jew is not B'Choyiv in the Mitzvah of Matzahs, so that's why he cannot create Lishma. What about a woman? Years ago, the women always used to bake the matzahs. So the Rishonim say it's a lucky thing that women are mechuyev the matzahs. Despite the fact that it's a mitzvah sesesh hazman grama, the Gemara derives from the pasuk from the Hekesh, kol sheyeshna mebaltei chochamitz, yeshna mikum mechal matzah. Kol sheyeshna mebaltei chochamitz, yeshna mikum mechal matzah. So women, since they are mechuyev, since they're not permitted to eat chametz, and therefore they're just as obligated as the men are with respect to eating the matzah. So since that's what the Rishonim had on, since the women are believed to eat matzah the same as the men, so the B'Torahs, they're able to create lishma. If the women would have not been mechuyev to eat matzah, then they would not have been able to create the lishma. Let's say a child before bar mitzvah is strictly speaking not mechuyev in the mitzvah of matzah. So since it's Zayin and B'Torahs, the child before bar mitzvah cannot create lishma. You could say a different reason, because he's a la bar das, and lishma means you have to think about it. He could say like that, he could say both explanations are acceptable. But that's what the Rishonim say over here, that a Nachri is Ein Torah. So this issue that we say that a Nachri cannot make Shmura Matzah, that's only when it comes to the Lisha and the Afiyah. The Asiyah needs Asiyah Lishma. But what about the Shima Mechimutz? The Gemara Mem Amin Aleph has a Machloikis Amoraim. Do you require Shmura Mishas Kitzira or not? After you harvest the grain, it may turn into chametz. If it's going to rain on the grain that's sitting in the field, there is a chance that it'll turn into chametz. It's highly unlikely. Usually it does not turn into chametz, because when it rains, the rain gets absorbed in the ground. How long does the grain sit in a puddle of water? For a couple of minutes, and then the water gets absorbed in the ground. The water is moving all the time. So it doesn't really sit there long enough. While it's raining, there's a saskus. So nothing is going to be bolad echim. How long is it going to sit in the water already? So the Gemara says, strictly speaking, it's very far-fetched. Strictly speaking, the Gemara talks about the theoretical possibility. In the end of the first parrot talks about the theoretical possibility of grain turning into chametz while it's still mechuber, while it's still attached to the ground. To go into achmetz bin mechuber. That's possible, but it's very far-fetched. So because it's far-fetched, you're not mechuyev to worry about that. You just pluck off the kernels of grain. If you see that there are kernels that turn into chametz, so you don't use them for the matzah. You don't use them on Pesach. But you're not mechuyev to go look about that, because that's a miyut shein ha-matzah klal ha-klal. And this is also really a miyut shein ha-matzah, that maybe the kernels of grain will have turned into chametz after the kitzira, before you do the lisha. The real time that it turns into chametz is after you do the lisha. So that's a machlokes in the Gemara, a mem amad aleph, and that's a machlokes in the Rishonim. So mikra din we paskin that shmura mishas lisha is sufficient. You have to watch the matzah from the time that you mix it with the water, that it shouldn't turn into chametz. You don't really require shmura mishas kitzira. That's a chumra. It's an expensive chumra. That's a chumra that we require shmura mishas kitzira, because there is a far out chance, way less than 1% chance, that the kernels of grain will become achmetz ben mechuber, the planet of chametz while it's still attached to the ground. But there's a slightly higher percentage that they'll become chametz after kitzira, before the lisha. But it's still an insignificant percentage. So that's a machlokes in the Gemara. Is that to include it in the pasuk when it says shmartam es hametz, that you need shima mechimutz? Is it sufficient shima mishas lisha v'yelach, or is it required that you have to have shmur mishas kitzira? So the shaila is, what do you mean shmur mishas kitzira? That the kitzira has to, the shmura has to be done by a Jew. The kitzira, the harvesting, has to be done by a Jew, and putting it in the plastic bags and tying them up all has to be done by a Jew, because the nachri is not mechuyev in the mitzvah of matzah. So whoever is any of the terrorists can create lishma. What lishma? When lishma? What they're making lishma? When they harvest the grain and they put it in the sacks, they're not making lishma. The lishma means asiyah lishma. Asiyah samatzah is the lisha niyafiyah. The nisinah samayim, that's the lishma. The pouring in the water, the mixing of the dough, the putting in the oven. The lisha with the afiyah, like the Rabbi Natam said. Rabbi Natam said there are two steps that make lechem. In other words, that make matzah. The two steps he said it again to his shita. What's chayv and challah? When is it kosher for matzah? He said either you have a blila or you have a lisha, or you have an afi, either one or the other. So we assume that both of these are called asiya samat. Even if according to Rabbi Natam, you have a blila or then you don't need an afiyah, but you still need a bishul. You can't say that raw dough, you can't say on raw dough, hamotzi lechem in art. You have to have a bishul or an afiyah, you have to have something. So that's why we assume la locha, that there are two activities that constitute asiyas alechem. The one is the lisha, and the haskal of the lisha is the nesina samayim. So the nesina samayim with the kneading of the dough, the lisha, the blila ova, with the afiyah. It could have been a bishul or kind of Rabbi Natan. We happen not to accept that part of Rabbi Natan. So we assume that you really need afiyah. So these have to be done by Yisrael. If a nachri does it, then Yisrael Oymer al Gabov, that's not acceptable, it says in the pasuk. Because the Nachri who's doing it is the only one who can, the one who does the Pu'ula is the one who has to introduce the Lishma. So if the Nachri is Zayna B'Torah, he can't create the Lishma. But as far as the Ksira is concerned, even if you're Machman that you need Shmura Mishas Ksira, so the Mishnah Berurah quotes this from the Pri Chodesh. That's not called Asiya Lishma, that's only the Shima Mechimutz. So if you have a Nachri doing the Ksira and putting it in the packages and tying it up, and the Jew is, a Mashgiach is watching, must be. That's efficient. There's no requirement that has to be done. The shmo, it's not chal. It's not going to be nitfas in the Shema. That's not the asiyah of the lechem. So again, in order to be considered the matzah, has to be something from the Chameshis Minidog, which was Bola de Chimutz. Do you really require that this batter of that this dough could have actually been Bola de Chimutz? Or you just say Bola de Chimutz is what determines if it's called Dogon or not? This grain is Bola de Chimutz theoretically, but let's say I'll mix it with Mei Peiris. Let's say, according to Tosafot, Mei Peiris ain't Machmitz in period. If you mix flour with Mei Peiris, it just will not become Chametz at all. So what if you mix flour with Mei Peiris and you can let it sit all day long? It's not going to be Bola de Chimutz. So that's not acceptable because it's not Bola de Chimutz. So you're not Yaitse, that's by definition, that's not called Matzah because it's not Bola de Chimutz. Or do you say no? Ain't a Bola de Chimutz just determines what's called Chameshis Minidog. So most of the Rishonim say the whole Chakir is irrelevant because that's going to be Matzah Ashira. The Gemara learns that from the Pasuk on Lamed Vav and Menalev. The Gemara learns that from the Pasuk Lechem Oni. 8 lines from the top, it says, Dvarim chapter Tezayin. The Gemara says, Lechem Oni means the bread of the poor, Lechem Oni, that a poor man would eat. And a Matzah Ashira is not acceptable. So what constitutes Matzah Ashira? So the Gemara has different definitions of Matzah Ashira. So one of them is, Isa Sheni Losha, this is 15 lines in. Isa Sheni Losha, B'yayin Shemen Dvash Acholof. So most of the Rishonim assume is lav dafke these four yain shem and dvash and cholov isu sheni losha be mei peiris is called matzah shir. So if nilosh be mei peiris is nothing to discuss, it's not acceptable. The Rambam has a very unusual opinion. He says no, the Gemara only singled out four mashkim is four mashkim yain shem and dvash and cholov. Any other mei peiris is good for leil haseder. That's what Rav Soloveitchik used to always say jokingly. According to the Rambam, egg matzahs and kosher lamahadrin for shmurim. You can use the egg matzahs to the same. Why? Because it doesn't have yain shem and vashon chomer. It just has apple cider with eggs in it. So according to the Rambam, these are not from the list of the four mashkim that are now acceptable. So it's kosher. So the Ramban asks against the Rambam, and how can it be good? But it's not bole de chimutz. The Gemara says the only time it's considered matzah is if he would have let it sit longer, it would have been Bola de Chimitz. So this is not Bola de Chimitz because it's only Mei Peiris. Apparently the Rambam is of the opinion that the requirement of Bola de Chimitz is just to determine which grains are acceptable. But you don't really require that this actual matzah could have turned into Chametz if you would have let it sit longer. No. This matzah will never be able to turn into Chametz. But since it's from the Chameshis Minedog, which theoretically, if mixed with water, would have been Bola de Chimitz, so this is considered the lechem. What's taka the beer in the shitas Rambam? That the Rambam holds that only the four mashkim of yain shem and bash and cholov. These are the only four that are considered the matzah ashira as opposed to lechem oni. But the Aruch HaShulchan writes it's a strange opinion of the Rambam, and he words it. He says the Rambam thinks these are the only four that are mentioned in the Gemara Lamed Vav and Menalev. Apparently the Rambam thinks these are the only four that are mashkim chashuvim. These four mashkim are chashuvim, and the egg matzah is the egg, but the apple cider, that's not so chashuv, so that's not chashuv enough to label it as matzvah shiv. That's what he suggests in the Shittas HaRambam. The Avnei Nezer always writes charifus. He never writes anything bland, right or wrong. Usually right, most of the time, maybe all the time. Avnei Nezer writes a charifus on the Rambam. He makes a l'shitasai, and it's hard to dingzach. It sounds like he's right. He says this Rambam is l'shitosai. There is a Mishnah in Chala where there's a machlekes hatanoim. If you mix flour with mei peiris, are you chayv in Chala or not? And make a sponge cake, and you didn't mix any water at all. Is it chayv in Chala? So that's a machlekes hatanoim. That was a machlekes in the days of the Rishonim had a paskin, and then in the later generation of the Rishonim they had again a machlekes Rishonim whether it's chayv in Chala. And then somebody woke up and said, hey, but this was a machlekes 3 generations ago. Why don't we just follow what the Lazoyski Paskin there? So the Maaseh it's a machlokes, and in the Shulchan Aruch they quote the machlokes. Atanai the machlokes, the early Rishonim, later Rishonim. The Zoruah quotes this, that the machlokes in the earlier generation, then repeated again later generations, and then in the Shulchan Aruch in Yerideya, in the third Chelik Yerideya in Hilchos Chala, they quote from the Maharam Rutenberg as representing the Hasidi Ashkenaz. The Hasidi Ashkenaz introduced a lot of Midas Hasidis into Psak Halacha, so he introduced the following Chumer from the Maharam Rutenberg, that whenever you make cakes, you should always mix in a little bit of water. So it'll be ois machlokes. So you won't have to get involved in machlokes, but you chay v'chala, not chay v'chala, always mix in a little water, so for sure you chay v'chala. So what's the machlokes hatanoim there? If you mix flour with neiteris, and you don't have any water, what's the machlokes whether it's chay v'chala or not? So the Yerushalmi says on chala, we have no bavli. Yerushalmi explains that the machlokes hatanoim is totally in the following. Let's say I have a long Italian bread, very long, it's tohor, and I'm an Adam Tomei, I touch the end of the bread. So we have a din, maga b'miktsosek and maga b'kula. Not only does this end of the bread become tummy, the whole bread, from the beginning to the end, is tummy. Let's say I touch an apple. I touch one side of the apple, I'm tummy, the apple is tohor. See, not only does that maka mago become tummy, the whole apple becomes tummy, because it's one unit. Let's say I have cookies that are sitting on top of each other. I touch the top cookie. So that's not one unit, there's separate cookies. So the first cookie becomes tummy. The other cookies don't become tummy. You have to figure out the din. Is an oichel metame another oichel or not? Let's say, I'm an avatuma, I'll make this cookie a rishon l'tuma. What's the din if a cookie is a rishon l'tuma, touches another cookie? So the Gemara says, ein oichel metame, it's not metame the other one. So the Gemara has a machlekes, the Talmud Yerushalmi quotes a machlekes satanoim. What if that Italian bread was not baked with water? What if they only mixed in May Paris? Is that mechaber the whole bread to be considered one unit or not? So that's the machlekes hatanoim in a tosefta. One tana is of the opinion that only zayin mashkim, not davka water. One tana is of the opinion only zayin mashkim are mechaber. If you have an apple, that's the way it grows naturally. That's an apple. If you have a lamb chop, and the other tummy touches one end of the lamb chop, that's a natural unit. That's the way it grows. The whole animal is one piece. It's not chibur b'dei adam. But the shaila is, if you made a chibur b'dei adam, you had flowers. Flowers, tiny little particles, and then you join it together by mixing in water, and you make it into one dough. So when is chibur b'dei adam considered one unit, and when is it not considered one unit? So one tana is of the opinion, the only thing that's mitzarev, the tiny particles together, is if it's from the Zayin Mashkin. If you used any other liquid or moisture other than the Zayin Mashkin, it's not mitzaref to be considered one unit. So therefore, maga b'miktsasa, if the Adam Tami touches one end of the cake, it won't be maga b'kul, it won't be metami the other end of the cake. And if you hold that the chiba b'dei adam doesn't count if it's from May Paris other than the Zayin Mashkin, then you're not chay v'chala simply because you don't have the shear. In order to be chay v'chala, you have to have a minimum shear. You have to have mem gimel beitzim and chomish beitzim. The Mefarshim and the Mishnah say that that's the gematria of the word challah, ches lamed hay. In chomish, the word challah means the dough. It doesn't mean the challah. That's a colloquial expression that the Tanoim coined. We call when you remove hafrashas challah in chomish, it's called truma. It's called truma. And the Baruch Hashem says, "Al hafrashas truma." So when you take out the truma, so we call that challah. And the dough that's left behind, that's really called the challah. In biblical Hebrew, that's called challah. It's a colloquial expression, and we call it challah. So there's a machlokes, so the challah is the gematria, ches lamed hey, is the gematria of 43. So the Mefarshim and the Mishnah say that that's the way to remember that you only chayv a challah if you have so much flour. Mem gimel beitzim v'chemish beitzim. 43 and a fifth beitzim, a value of flour. A volume of flour. So, if I have that volume, I'm then mimul beitz mechamish beitza, but it's mechuba yachad, it's connected together with mei peiris, so that's the machloikas hatanaim. And the tosefta, it's a chibur b'dei adam. Does chibur b'dei adam make it into one unit only if it's one of the zayin mashkin that's mechaberit, or even if it's mei peiris? So the Rambam happens to paskin over there, lahaloche, he's consistent. He paskins chibur b'dei adam has to be one of the zayin mashkin. So if you have this Italian bread and it doesn't have water, it doesn't have one of the zayin mashkin, maga b'mitzasa will not be kemaga b'kuloi. And therefore the shitasa, he's consistent in the paskins. If you mixed flour with mei peiris other than the zayin mashkin, it's not mechaber yachad. So you're not chay v'chal because you don't have a kashir. It's only considered kashir if you have a tziruf yachad. The tziruf has to be one of the Zayin Mashkim. So the Avinezer writes a Harifis. He said that which are the Zayin Mashkim? Which are the Zayin Mashkim? So one of them is water, one is dew, tau. So water and dew is the same thing. H2O is water. So if you make matzahs with water, that's matzah. That's not matzah ashir. One of them is dam. Dam is treif. Dam is treif. Dam adam is awesome in the rabbanon. So we're not going to make matzah with blood. There's nothing to discuss. So the only four mashkim that are left are yain, shem, and dvash, and cholot. These are the only four that belong to the list of the zayin mashkim. So he explains what the harif is. The Rambam, let's say I'll take a matzah, a regular shmura matzah, and then I'll shmir on jelly, and then I'll eat it. Leil Pesach, I'll put on jam. And I'll achil this matzah and I'll eat it. So you're going to say it's matzah ashir because you shmir on jelly? So most of the Rishonim, so we have a chumer, the Rambam has a chumer, you shouldn't put salt on the matzah leil Pesach. All year long when you say, I'm like, you put a little salt on the lechem, and a leil Pesach you don't. So the two reasons, the two official reasons that are given in Shulchan Aruch are the following. The Rambam says, Rambam only quotes one reason. The Rambam says, the reason why we don't salt it is because the Gemara says in Brachos, you only put salt on if it's a bland bread. But if the bread tastes delicious the way it is, like most challahs, all year long, most challahs that we eat taste very good, then you don't need any salt. Apparently in Europe, the challahs didn't taste so good. It tasted awful. But on Pesach night, the matzahs were delicious. In order to demonstrate that the matzahs are delicious, they don't need anything in addition. So the meaning was that they didn't salt the matzah. That's the official reason that the Rambam gives. And in the Rishonim, the Agudah in Brachas gives an additional reason, that it's a chashash matzah ashira. If you're going to add flavoring to the matzah, chashash matzah ashira. This is only a chumra. Mikra din, after the matzah is baked already, and then you throw a little salt on it, or you put on jam, or whatever, peanut butter, so that does make it into matzah ashira. It's only matzah ashira if it's baked with the ashiras in it. So that's what the Avnei Nezer suggests the Harifus and the Rambam. The Rambam holds that the only four mashkim that you can speak of that are mechaber and amitztaref to the flour are yain, shem, and dvash, and cholov. Water and dew is mitztaref, but that's not matzah shira. Dam odam is osin. Dam beim is osin and atara. Dam odam is osin and abonis. So you're not going to make matzahs with dam. So the only four that are mitztaref are these. If you're going to make matzah shira, egg matzahs, you're going to make egg matzahs with the eggs, the liquid that's going to be mitzaref yachad, the flour is going to be the eggs, and the apple cider, salpidin, that's not mitzaref anything, and it's not mitzaref to the flour. It's not mitzaref the particles of flour together, and it itself is not mitzaref to the flour. So that's moshal ma'adav adam, that's like I have a matzah, and I put on jam on the outside of the matzah. Since the ashiris, the dovishal ashiris, was not mitztaref al pidin with the matzah, so it doesn't constitute matzah shira. That's what Avnei Nezer suggests, a harifus in the Rambam. That's why the Rambam holds that dafka these four will constitute matzah shira, and all other meperes don't bother me, because al pidin they're not mitztaref the particles of flour together, they themselves are not considered mitztaref as part of the lechem. You baked it with it, how can you say it's not, it is baked with it, but al pidin it wasn't mitztaref to make it into lechem. So since it was mitzaref as part of the definition of the lechem, so it doesn't make it into matzah shira. Yet what else is considered matzah shira that's not acceptable? So the Gemara says cholut va'ashisha. The Gemara says lechem oni prat lecholut va'ashisha. That's on the bottom of Lamed Vav on the base, the first wide line. Matzah alayma lechem oni prat lecholut va'ashisha. Cholut means if you have gibrux. Let's say I take a matzah that was baked and then I cook the matzah. I cook it in a liquid. So cholut means shebishloi. Matzah mevusheles is considered a matzah ashira. What if I only soak the matzah in water? I didn't cook it in burning hot water. I just soaked it in a little water to soften it. I don't have teeth and I can't chew. So I soak the matzah in water. So strictly, that's gibrox. The chassidim will not eat it because of gibrox. Okay. But as far as mesnagdim is concerned, that's not a problem. That would not be a problem. What if I soak the matzah in wine? That's no good. And Shulchan Aruch says, you soak it in water. So the Mogen Avraham says, you soak it in wine, it's medayik. If you soak it in wine, it's no good. Why is no good? That's matzah ashira. But that's like putting on jam on the outside. I dipped it in wine after it's baked already. So that's a chumra. That's a chumra. Not to put salt on the Yagude writes you shouldn't salt the matzah because of achshasha of matzah shira. So we're machmer not to shmir on jim, but they say that you're not yotzei. You can't say that you're not yotzei. So even if you soak it in wine, it's a chumra not to soak it in wine. You should soak it in water. Now Chaim points out that the Rishonim that this is based on, who said you should dafke soak in water, you shouldn't soak in wine, he thinks that they're talking about the afikoyman. And the Gemara has a din at the end of the Masech, the imaftir nacha pesach, afikoyman, after the korban pesach, you're not allowed to eat anything else, kadesh yehe tam pesach b'fiv. Then the Gemara says, afilu b'zman shein beis hamikdash kayam, the din still applies not to the korban pesach, but to the matzah. We have a toss-up, should we insist on tam bora b'fiv? A tamatzah b'fiv. So the matzah is more important than the morah b'zman hazeh, because matzah is minat Torah, and the morah is only midrabbanan. Let's say a guy's in Siberia, and he has no korban pesach, and he has no matzah, he only has morah, he has plenty of morah. So you should eat the morah at the end, he should retain the tam morah b'fiv. At a chaviv is a mitzvah, but the Rambam says b'zman hazeh, we have matzah and morah, so the matzah is more important than the morah. The matzah is the rice of b'zman hazeh, and the morah is only midrabbanan. So we insist on maintaining the tam matzah b'fiv. Rav Chaim says he thinks that those Rishonim who said that you're not allowed to dip the matzah in wine, they were talking about the afikoman. They're not talking about hilchas matzah. They didn't mean to say that it's going to be a problem on matzah ashira. No, shmir on jelly is not matzah ashira. It was baked there. That's a chumrah. Those Rishonim meant to say for the afikoman, if you're going to dip the afikoman in wine, then you won't be mekayim the tam matzah b'fiv. You're going to have the tam wine in your mouth. You're not going to have the tam matzah b'fiv. But as far as the kazayis mitzvah that you eat in the beginning, that's not going to be. The tam matzah b'fiv is not going to be from that matzah. You're going to eat the whole meal in between. So the tam matzah b'fiv is only going to be from the matzah at the end. So he's not so convinced that the Magen Avraham is right. The Magen Avraham thinks that if you soak it in wine, it passes it because of matzah shir. So the quote from Abchaim, he doesn't think that that's so. The Pashta says that it's not. Anyway, Sacholot means matzah mivushelas. If you cook the matzah, let's repeat it on Daf Mem Aleph Amid Aleph again. The Gemara says, you can be yotzei right in the middle of the Yomud. The Gemara quotes a Braisa Tanya. It says on the side, Bracha Islam at Chesem Beis. Yotzei Biraki Kashoroi Ubi Mivushel Shaloni Moyach. Divi Reb Meir. Reb Meir says you can be yotzei Araki against a matzah. If the matzah is shruya, it broks, shruya. If you soak the matzah in water, it gets soft. Or if you cook it, so Ramei holds you while you eat it. But if it's nimoyach, if the matzah, if you cook the till it fell apart and liquefied, then it's not called achilos matzah. Then it's not a matzah. And we don't paskin like Reb Meir. Whenever Reb Meir disagrees with someone else, we usually don't paskin like Reb Meir. Reb Yosiyah Meiraki Yotzei Meiraki Kashori Avoloi B'Mavushal Api Shalai Nimoyach. You can be yotzei with a matzah that was soaking in water, or soaking perhaps even a wine, avolob b'mevushal, but if you cooked it, it's not good. So the shaila is, what's wrong if you cooked it? So the Gemara continues to explain, loy b'mevushal, the Tosis explains, because mevushal is matzah ashira, the Tosis did a maskal avolob b'mevushal. Kiech the sover of Yosef, the bishal mapik lamateris afilu shabuyi, matzah ashira, it becomes matzah ashira. That's the Gemara earlier. On the bottom of lamed vov, lamed base, the first wide line, lechem oni prat lecholot. If you do bishul on the matzah, that makes it into a matzah ashira. What is ashisha? Ashisha is another form of matzah ashira. Ashisha means if it's a gigantic matzah. Our matzahs are not so big. A gigantic matzah is called a matzah ashira. How gigantic does the matzah have to be that it should be called a matzah ashira? So the Gemara says, echad mishisha be'efor. That's a very big matzah. How much is an efor? I multiplied before an A4 is 432 beitzim. 432 beitzim. So divide that by 6. That's an awful, that's a gigantic matzah. So if you have, let's say you make such a big cake, like a wedding cake, and you paste it with the flour, and you baked it in the oven, and you didn't let it rise. Right? You have such a gigantic matzah, the size of a wedding cake, and you baked it through, so that would be possible. Even though you're not going to eat the whole cake, you're not going to eat 75 beitzim of matzah, you're just going to eat a kazayas. So the Gemara says, if one who is baked, it was so gigantic, it has echad mishisha, the eifo, 1/6 of an eifo, and the eifo is 432 beitzim, so that's too big, that's called matzah ashir. What's another prat in matzah ashira, as opposed to lechem oni? So the Gemara has in the end of the Masechta that it has to be Prusa. Madaki Shaloni Biprusa, so too Leil Pesach has to be a Prusa. That's the top line on Kufta Zayinu Medalla. Mark quotes a Brisa, Lechemoni, the last line of Kufta Zvav in the base, and the top line of Kufta Zayinu Medalla. Madaki Shaloni Biprusa, Avkam Biprusa. What do you mean, Darki Shaloni Biprusa? There's a pasuk in Yeshaya. Yeshaya Hanavi encourages the people to give charity to the poor. So if a poor man comes, he's starving, he has no food to eat, so Yeshaya Hanavi encourages, Halafrois l'roiv lachmecha. Take a bread and break off a piece and give it to the yoni. If you can't afford, you don't want to give him a whole challah, so break off a half a challah and give him a prusa. So madar kishaloni beprusa, the poor man never has to live on the prusas, on the broken pieces of bread, or the leftover pieces of bread that the balabatim have, and they give a handout to the oni. So leil pesach, we have to have a prusa. That's called lechemoni. Tosis there has the two opinions, kuf tazayinim and aleph. Tosis has the machlokes. How does this work out with the requirements for lechem mishnah? The Gemara says that on Shabbos and Yom Tov you need lechem mishnah zecha lemon. So if you need lechem mishnah and you need prusa, usually lechem mishnah is two shleimus. So what is it, what do you do on Pesach night? So here's the big machlokes. The Rishonim say, half of the Rishonim say that you have, instead of having two shleimos, you have one and a half shleimos. You have one shleima and one prusa. That's the Rambam, and that's the Vilna Goyen had that practice to have only one and a half. And most don't have that practice. Most follow the other. Tosfos has two opinions. Tosfos has the both opinions. And most follow the other opinion in Tosfos, that you need two and a half matzahs, you need two shleimas for lechem mishnah, then you need the prusa for the mitzvah matzah, because they're really two distinct mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah of sudas Shabbos v'yontiv, mitzvah sudas yontiv. So sudas yontiv requires lechem mishnah, Pesach night same as any other yontiv. Then there's another mitzvah to eat matzah. But like karav zelzeh, the two are unrelated to each other. The other rishonim hold no, not the two are unrelated. The mitzvah of sudas yontiv, which is normally fulfilled by having lechem mishnah, two shleimas, should be fulfilled tonight on Leil HaSeder by having one and a half shleimas. It's the same mitzvah, one and the same mitzvah. It's not two distinct mitzvahs, one mitzvah of sudas yontiv and one mitzvah of matzah. The mitzvah of matzah is, this is the way to fulfill the mitzvah of sudas yontiv. So that's one nafkamina. Do you have two and a half matzah? Do you have one and a half matzah? Now the nafkamina is, how many matzahs, how many kazaisim do you eat? So the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber writes, you have to eat two kazaisim. One kazaisim from the two shleimas to fulfill the mitzvah of sudas yontiv, and a separate kazayis from the prusa to fulfill the mitzvah of matzah, of lechem oini. And the Mishnah Berurah quotes, the Mishnah Berurah is not happy why the Mechaber quoted that. The Rav Rishonim will say like that, the Mishnah Berurah is not happy. He says, why did the Mechaber introduce this chumr? Look who's speaking. Mishnah Berurah is the one who introduced all the chumrs under the sun, and the Bir Halacha. So he says, why did the Mechaber introduce this chumr? The Rav Rishonim will say that. That's it. The Rav Rishonim, he quotes Achreinim. He'll quote some obscurachim and say everybody should stand on their head and so on because this happens. So here he says, the Rav Rishonim will say that you have to have two kizaisim because of two mitzvahs, but he claims that most of the Rishonim hold not. He thinks that most of the Rishonim think that it's enough one kizayis. Yeah. Truth of the matter, one kizayis, so then it means one and a half matzahs. The minigoylem is that you have two and a half matzahs. Two and a half matzahs means that they're two distinct mitzvahs. There's one mitzvah to have lechem mishnah for sudas yontif, and there's another separate unrelated mitzvah to have matzah, lechem oni. So if the two distinct mitzvahs, so you have to have a kazayis from this matzah to fulfill the mitzvah of sudah, and a kazayis from the other matzah to fulfill the mitzvah of lechem oni. So it's a little bit funny why the Mishnah Berurah woke up all of a sudden over here. What was he masik for? He wasn't masik on the three matzahs, and that he leaves alone. He's not masik on that. So why is he masik over here? The Gemara has other drushes. Yeah. So what Nahamon? So in order to qualify as matzah, first of all, it has to be something which is bole dechimut. At least the grain should be bole dechimut. That's how we've established the whole idea of the chamesh yismini dogon. And there's no halacha l'mashim yisina, only chamesh yismini dogon. If you discover a new grain in the African jungles that has the same properties of the wheat and the barley, it'll also be, you know, the Yerushalmi says, it depends on experimentation. When they discovered the rye, and the rye has the same properties, so the rye is also from the Chamesh Yismini Dogon. even if historically it was never included in the list in the Mishnah, it's going to have the same din. So it has to be bola dechimut. The question is whether this particular Isa has to be bola dechimut. It just means this is kaver, the min of the dogon. That's the argument between the Rambam and the Ramban. If you have other made paris other than Yain Shem and Vashon Cholos, so the Rambam says it's good l'mahadrim to be yotze the mitzvah on Leil Pesach with it. He holds that it's not matzah ashira. Aye, but it's not bole dechimut. The Rambam holds that made paris not machnitz. He holds that's not a problem. Bole dechimut is just to be kaveh of what constitutes dogon. And the Ramban and the Mochamis, when he disagrees with the Rambam, holds not. It has to be, this should be actually bole dechimut. So you have to have something that's bole dechimut. It has to have a din lechem. And what constitutes lechem? That's a machlokes the Ramban and the Rabbein and Tam. And Shulchan Aruch, they don't pasken like the Rabbein and Tam. They pasken against the Rabbein and Tam, both in Hilchas Chala and in Hilchas Brochas. We pasken like the Ramban, that everything has to have an afir. If you don't have an afir, it's not called lechem. And if you have an afir, it has the status of lechem, even if it had a blila raka, even if it didn't have alisha. But we do adopt part of the Rabbein and Tam. We say that what's called asiyas hamatzah for the purpose of making lishma is the lisha with the afir. The lisha consists of two parts, the nesinas amayim with the lisha, with the kneading of the dough. And then the afir means the putting it into the oven. So that has to be done lishma. That shmura matzah has to be done lishma. There's another din of shmura, namely shima michimutz. Yeah, that can be done by an akum if you have Yisrael or Minagabov. That would be acceptable. The Meiri raises a possibility that even benegir to the ktsira, the shmur mishas ktsira, that doesn't need a seal the shmur, maybe it wouldn't help if the akum does the yisrael amir agabav. Why? He quotes an expression from the Gemara in Chagiga, and the end of Chagiga, where the Gemara has an expression, ein oda mishamar mashe biyad chavira. If you have to have shimur on something, where they're talking about tumah l'tara, here we're talking about shimur michimus. So the Gemara is talking about shimur for tahara purposes. The Gemara has such an expression. Ain't on a mishamer mashiv yad chaver. You can't be mishamer. You can't supervise what someone else is doing. If you're taking care of it, you can be mishamer. How can the mashgiach watch what the nachri is doing? So it's interesting that we don't pass on like that miri, but it's interesting the Minchas Chinuch made the same original tzushta. He didn't have any miri. He made the same tzushta. He said maybe Akam doing the ktsira with Yisrael Amir Agabov shouldn't be acceptable. As the Gemara says, he gives the same tzushta. The Gemara says in Chagige, Ein on a mishama mashad yad chaver. But halacha lemaisa, we don't accept that opinion. The practice is that we that the nachri does the ktsira, and the mashgiach watches while he's doing the ktsira. So the matzah has to be lechem, and it has to be also lechem oni. Oni is prat le nilosh b'yayin shem and vashon cholov. Prat le cholut means if it's mevushal. Prat la shisha, if it's gigantic, such a gigantic matzah, is called lechem, but it's matzah shira, it's not lechemoni. And then the Gemara says later, it has to be prusa, has to be a prusa. Then the Gemara has other drushes on the expression oni, on that daf, on kuf tezayinim and aleph. The Gemara says, lechem she'onim alav dvorim, on the bottom of kuf tezvavim and beis. That's earlier also on the bottom of lechem she'onim alav dvarim, or lechem shalom alav dvarim harbei. What does that mean? That the matzah should be there while one is reciting the Haggadah. So that's why in our Haggadahs we have yachatz at the very beginning. Because we understand from the word lechem oni two things. That the matzah should be a prusa, madakah shalom be prusa, and it should be lechem shalom alav dvarim harbei. We should recite the Haggadah with the prusa in front of us. So that's why we don't wait till after we wash to say amoitzah. We don't break the matzah then. We break the matzah all the way in the beginning. The Rambam doesn't have yachatz in the beginning. So why are we so insistent on having yachatz in the beginning? So the Maharal Prague and all the standard Mefarshim Eftim, they all say the same pshat. Because we put together, we combine the two pshatim. Lechem shalom ola dvarim habi with the madakah shalom b'prusa. We want to recite the Haggadah by having a prusa in front of us on the table. If you wouldn't have the matzah on the table, you wouldn't be able to the mitzvah of sipitzias mitzvah. It says in the Haggadah, and the Gemara learns it out from the Pasuk, the Haggadah has it. Ba'avuzeh, Asa Hashem li b'tzeis b'mitzrayim. We tell the children, Ba'avuzeh. So the Gemara says, whenever it says zeh in Tanakh, it's referring to something tangible that you can point to. I say, Dovazeh. If you say, Zerayon, that's an interesting idea. Zerayon. So in Biblical Hebrew, you wouldn't say the word zeh, because you can't point to the idea.
you can say the blackboard is Zed.
This is Zed. The Gemara is Zed. If I hold something, is Zed. So the Gemara says, Baba Zela Martel B'shel Sheis Matzah Ma'am Menachem Lefanecha. The Gemara says the mitzvah of Sipit Sias Mitzrayim can only be fulfilled if you have one of the mitzvahs Halayla there and you're holding on to it and you can point to it. So Bizman said, Bis Amigdush HaYakayam, they would hold on to the Korban Pesach. Baba Zela Asa Hashem Li B'shel Sheis Mitzrayim. Bizman HaZeh, we don't have Korban Pesach. So the Gemara discusses, do we have the mitzvah of Sipit Sias Mitzrayim in our Torah or not? So the Gemara says, well, Morar Bizman HaZeh is only the Rabbanim. So you can't pick up the Mora and say Baba Zeh, on the level of their eyes, the Mora is meaningless. There is no mitzvah of Mora. Is there a mitzvah of Matzah in our Torah? So that's a machlokes amaroim in the end of the Mesichta. So we pask in Lahaloche that Matzah Bizman HaZeh is their eyes. That's on Kuf Chol from Bedalam. The Maskonos HaGemara is that Matzah Bizman HaZeh is their eyes. Like Rover. And the other Amor disagreed, and he thought that Matzah Bizman HaZeh is also only the Rabbanu, just like Mora is the Rabbanu. So the Gemara says, if Matzah and Morer are both Midirabbanon, the Tzipi Tzias Mitzrayim is going to be Midirabbanon also, because there is no Baba Zeh. There's nothing on the level of their eyes. So there's no one of the mitzvahs Alayla that you can point to. You can speak in abstract. There was a mitzvah Matzah, but that's not Zeh. Zeh refers to something tangible that you pick up and you demonstrate. So the Gemara says, the fact that we pass in the Matzah Bizman HaZeh is their eyes, saves the mitzvah of Sipitzias Mitzrayim and maintains it as a deraisa. That's the Gemara Kuf Tezayin on the base. If we would have accepted the opinion of Rav Acha Bar Yankiv, the Matzah Bizman HaZeh is only derabbanan, then Sipitzias Mitzrayim would have been the derabbanan. But we happen not to pass them like that. Okay, maybe we'll continue on Sunday.